rocking the boat.
We have always learned not to stand up in a boat. A big ship, okay, or a big flying rowboat, but especially not a canoe. Don't stand up in a canoe, right? We all know this? I know, raising the hands thing. We gotta get that, you know, the hands like stretched out and everything. The holy hands going right there. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to stand up in a canoe, to rock that boat. Those who rock the boat, even though history often views them as visionary, are usually seen as trouble by whatever people or forces are powerful at the moment. Think about pastors who denounce the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's call for nonviolent protest. His letter from a Birmingham jail was written to pastors who said, you ought to stop doing what you're doing. The United Church of Christ and several other denominations, including the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, have been denounced for being open and affirming to LGBTQ folk. Over the last year, I have been denounced by many who don't like that I support the LGBTQ community, or Black Lives Matter, or mental health, or accessibility for all, or equality, full access to reproductive health care, and living out love one another. But in today's reading, it's not some kind of protest or human anger that's literally rocking the boat. It looks perhaps in the reading today that God is somehow active in the storm that rocked the disciples' boat. Jesus woke during the storm, and he was probably a little crabby after waking up from sleeping on that cushion. He told the storm to stop. I do not, nor will I ever blame God for hurricanes, or tornadoes, or earthquakes, or COVID, or other disasters and tragedies. And anytime someone stands up and says that storms appear because God is punishing people for something or other, my response is a very succinct, that kind of thinking is full of, my mask stopped it. So what are we to do then with a Bible passage where it's definitely possible to think that God is rocking the boat? What's the teachable thing here? Storms. There was a storm when Jesus and the disciples were on the boat. Nowhere in the reading does it say that God rocked the storm, but it does say that Jesus rebuked the wind and told the sea, "Peace, be still." It also says that when the storm came up, Jesus was napping. But it fits into a narrative that it's through the Bible. The Bible is filled with God-caused moments. God caused the great flood. God caused the plagues. God caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, our lives seem to be filled with God is napping moments or times. I prayed, and nothing changed. Innocent people meet tragic ends. Coronavirus, gun violence, disasters, bombs, war, corrupt actions by powerful people. And maybe I can explain those things by saying that the events of the Old Testament reflect God's people trying to make sense of the evil that they did and the hardship they endured as punishment. And maybe I can go further and say that when tragedies and hardship occur, they aren't related to any kind of wrong living by God's people, and they expected punishment. They're just a way for God's glory to be shown. Maybe I can say that bad things happen because of the presence of evil in the world. God is the author of all things good. Satan is the author of all things evil. And I've heard theologians say those things. You may have heard them from a pulpit or from some other kind of religious gathering. But really, as I say them, they ring really hollow. I don't know why bad things happen. I don't know why good things happen. I have no satisfactory answers for the whole why front. We thank God for God's blessings, right? We ask God for deliverance from our trials. Well, now there's an obvious, if not too simple idea, maybe. God is not the one who brings the storm. God is the one who helps bring us through the storm. It's comforting. Sometimes it's hard to hold on to that. But I think that words like that are comforting and hopeful to everyone. They aren't an answer to the reason why, because I don't have an answer to the reason why. They're words, which everyone agrees. I don't have an easy answer to the questions of God's power and God's healing, what God does do and what God doesn't do, and why. These words from Jesus, when he spoke to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still," are words of comfort and hope. I don't want this to sound like a "you just have to snap out of it," because as we sit here today, we have been through something that no other group of people alive have been through up until now. This pandemic, which isn't over. We can see that by the evidence of the way people are sitting, the way that the fans are going, there's no air conditioner going, the way that we're wearing masks. "Peace, be still" isn't an order. It's a chance to take a breath. Breath has been something that has taken on a whole new meaning during the pandemic as well. Peace. Be still. It's like that 4-2-4 breathing. Are you familiar with 4-2-4 breathing or 6-4-6? It works wonderfully for just about everyone. Here's how it works. And I'm doing it with this mask as my face gets more and more sweaty. You breathe in for a count of four. You hold for a count of two. You breathe out for a count of four. And you hold for a count of two. I'm going to do that now. This is like "Peace, be still." It's not an order. It's a way to get there. Breathe in. Hold. Breathe out. You know those words? They're peaceful, and they're a call to get there. But they're also the words of someone who was crabby after waking up after a nap. What if the storm isn't about something huge? What if it's things that are smaller, less devastating? In the spirit of the phrase, "Great seas do not make a still sailor," let's ask this question. When our boat is rocked, does it always serve to make us stronger? Illness. We're healed. We are stronger for the experience. Financial troubles. We make it through. We are wiser for the experience. Panic. We learn how to address the symptoms. We find that we can provide immeasurable help to others. Depression, divorce, loss of job, pandemic. I don't think it all serves to make us stronger. It can just as easily leave us devastated and broken. So where's the teaching of all of us, the hope? When Jesus woke up, as the wind and the waves threatened to swamp the boat, his first words were, "Peace, be still." After the storm was over, He said, "Why are you afraid?" He didn't say, "Why were you afraid?" His words to the wind and sea were, "Peace, be still." And I got to think that as he said those words, the disciple heard them as well. Why are you afraid, even in the dead calm? Well, Jesus, we just went through this storm. Forgive us for being a little bit afraid now. Why would anyone here today have any anxiety about gathering when we've taken all of these steps and we've really tried hard to make sure that we have safety protocols in place? Well, we've just been through a pandemic and it's still going on and we're not feeling all of that comfortable. And what about the people who didn't come here yet? Well, yeah. When Jesus asks, "Why are you afraid?" I don't think it's this interrogation question, "Well, why are you afraid?" Legitimately asking the question, "Why are you afraid?" Take inventory of it. And then maybe go back to "Peace, be still," and start to find that unwind of the spring that is wound tightly inside you. Or something that the disciples said before Jesus quieted the winds and the waves that haven't addressed yet. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Don't you care? Why wouldn't the disciples feel that way? The boat was sinking. Jesus was napping. Did Jesus care? He was in a boat, too. One of the theories of atonement, Jesus coming down to be in the world. The most popular one in Christianity is one that I really dislike, in that God is so angry at sin that God has to punish sin, and then Jesus comes down and says, "I'll take the punishment." Substitutionary atonement is what it's called. Substitutionary atonement assumes that God is a wrathful and vengeful God. But it is the most popular theory of how we view Christianity. Another one, which is stronger, is it's called Christus Victor. This is a really cool one. Have you ever read the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, The Chronicles of Narnia? The Chronicles of Narnia describes Christus Victor, Christ the Victor. And in that, it's not God who demands punishment for sin. It's Satan who has people bound up because they have sinned. Satan owns their souls, basically. In the Chronicles of Narnia, the White Witch is the Satan figure. Aslan is the Christ figure. But Aslan then dies and comes back to life and undoes the White Witch's curse. So in that, and in the Apostles' Creed where it says he descended to the dead, Jesus dies, goes down, and sets everyone free from Satan's bonds. That's Christus Victor. If you want to get a good view of Christus Victor, not all of you are going to agree here, but a singer named Lil Nas X. You heard of Lil Nas X? He did that song, Old Town Road. He did another song, Call Me By Your Name. And it's a pretty graphic song. He is like an angel in heaven, but then he is seduced, and he ends up sliding down a pole to hell, where he does a lap dance on the devil. But then he ends up killing the devil and takes over. He becomes the Christus Victor figure. He sets everybody free. The song was a result of Lil Nas X saying that he was part of the LGBTQ community, and the right-wing Christianity saying, "Well, guess where you're going?" And he said, "Well, if you're going to send me there, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to take it over." But his video, the subject of the song, matches right with the Chronicles of Narnia and Christus Victor, where Jesus saves the world by dying. But he doesn't save it from God's wrath, but from Satan's wrath. It's a more comfortable way to do it. But in the boat together, there's a third way. And this one is beautiful. solidarity atonement means that God didn't understand what it meant to be human, because God is God. God was never human, and so God sent Jesus to experience life as a human so Jesus could understand happiness and sadness and illness and even death on a cross. And then God gets it. God says, I sent Jesus to be in solidarity, so now we're all in solidarity and we're in the boat together. That is a beautiful way to look at Jesus in the world. And it's a beautiful way to look at this story of Jesus in the boat. Why are you afraid? We're in the boat together. I think what's teachable in the reading does let us ask and helps us to know that Jesus cares. And it does have everything to do with Jesus' words, peace be still. It's about Jesus saying, trust me. We'll get through this. We're in the boat together. Maybe we can all find peace and be in this boat together, resting, taking a nap. Amen.